Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Well, today we are going to talk about exaltation and fall, two conditions that planets can be in your natal chart. And frankly, it is very, very important that you know if you want to get into astrology, if you have any planets in exaltation or if you do have any planets in fall. So this is going to be a critical topic for you to check your charts today. And of course, having your charts handy is going to be a vital part of today's show. And just basically, I think that a planet in exaltation, by definition, is well placed. And that should work well for the subject and is generally very positive, okay? Now, a planet in fall is traditionally ill-placed and tends to lose some of its power and also increases the karma of that planet depending what sign and house it's in. This is also the case in case you have more of an affliction on a planet in fall. So we're going to talk about exaltation in fall today. I might even throw in the terms detriment and rulerships, so it should be an interesting topic for you today. You know, whenever I go out with people or meet people and take a look at their charts, it's difficult not to go, look at someone's chart when you meet a new person, whether they're a friend or a lover or whatever. And oftentimes, whenever I see someone's chart, I'm always impressed if I see they have exalted planets, because I have my moon in fall and Mars in detriment, you know, which might not be too good. I always look at someone's chart and say to myself, oh, they have a Taurus moon. This person emotionally is a lot more stable than the rest of us. Or ooh, they have Mercury in Virgo, which could mean that they're a genius, or perhaps Venus in Pisces, and maybe they have Mars in Capricorn, you know, and any of these placings like Jupiter in Cancer or Saturn in Libra, you know, Uranus in, Scorpio, you know, any of these placings, these are exaltations, like Neptune in Leo, for some of you born around the 1920 area there or thereabouts, 1915. Pluto, I believe, is exalted in Sagittarius. No one knows yet what Pluto. I think Pluto is in fall in Gemini, and then it would be exalted in Sagittarius, and we would find out about that effect in about 10 years. But still, I am always curious to find out if I meet someone that has exalted planets in their chart, because I think that's special. I really think that you have to do something in a past life, something very loving, something very positive, something very unselfish, and something almost humanitarian to gain or earn an exalted planet. That's why when I'm around my sister, I say to myself, wow, she has a Scorpio moon in fall, and she has Jupiter in Cancer exalted, which means she could have been good, and then she could have been bad. But still, knowing these distinctions, whether you have any signs, any planets in signs that they are either ruled by or exalted in detriment in or in fall, and I will give you the listing of all these issues today, planets that would either rule, be exalted, be in detriment, or in fall, are traditional factors that we must pay attention to whenever we analyze astrology charts. So, you know, basically, if you find a planet in your chart or in someone else's chart that you're looking at, then you are dealing with a situation. I'm going to also talk about mutual reception today because people have also asked about that. Usually you can find out that planets can be in detriment, in exaltation, in fall, or in a sign they rule if they happen to be placed within signs which traditionally give them these qualities, okay? So you can't have the moon exalted in more than one sign or the sun exalted more than one sign, because usually we attach rulership, detriment, exaltation, and fall to only one planet per one sign per planet. So it's not that difficult to get these down and memorize them. Okay, it can of course happen that no planets in a chart can come into any of these categories, which is okay. It doesn't mean you're not special or anything, but it would remove a traditional emphasis that would help explain an individual's gifts are an individual's vulnerabilities, you know, because a planet in your chart in detriment or fall can reveal tremendous weakness, okay? So if you want to figure out what someone's weakness is, and you find out they have planets in detriment or fall, one or more, then, you know, you could really attack them in those areas and weaken them if you want to. You can really play with them on that. Or they can weaken themselves. Whereas we do find people that have planets exalted in their chart, or sometimes in signs they rule, these are people that will be a lot stronger, and it will be a lot more difficult to weaken, not only by themselves or from other people. So that's something that's very, you know, if you know someone that has four planets exalted and no planets in detriment or in fall, this is the type of guy you want on your basketball team. He's going to win you some championships for sure. Okay? So once again, a planet in exaltation is well placed and should work well for the subject and is generally positive. A planet in detriment is traditionally ill placed and tends to lose some of its power. Also, this is the case when a planet is in fall, that planet loses a lot of its power. Mutual reception. A planet in mutual reception with another planet is when each falls in the sign ruled by the other. For example, when Mercury is in Libra, traditionally ruled by Venus, and Venus is in Virgo, traditionally ruled by Mercury, two planets in mutual reception will work together for the subject's benefit, each strengthening and emphasizing the effect of the other. So we do find that exalted planets, planets in their ruling signs, and planets in mutual reception do work well. It is the planets in detriment and in fall that can weaken and create vulnerabilities. We find a lot of people having trouble with growth, with evolution, with being able to process their lives. You might find a lot of people in failure syndromes, negative. Sometimes we talk about Virgo planets and Cancer planets and Scorpio planets as being people that worry, or people that are negative, or people that are defeatist, or have fatal attitudes. Well, it goes the same way. If you find out you do have some planets in detriment or in fall in your chart, you know, one or more, that also can weaken your overall structure and emphasize your karma as far as needing to climb up a ladder that can be that much more difficult for you, whereas easier for the rest of us. Okay? So this should be a very good topic. Now, what we'll do is we'll go by each planet: Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. The Sun and the Moon are referred to as planets, but because they aren't planets, we also call them luminaries. So this way you can make yourself a flow chart up today if you're not taping the show, and that way you'll have a key or a guide to let you know what planets, what signs are ruled by which planets, what signs are exalted by which planets, what signs are in a detriment, and what signs are in fall. Okay, once again, ruling planets do well, exalted planets do better as far as strengthening the individual. Detriment planets create vulnerabilities, weakness, and karma, and fall create tremendous vulnerabilities and weakness and sometimes problems. All right, so if you are a Leo, okay, if you are a Leo, that means you have your sun in the ruling sign that it rules, Leo, and that's why most Leo people have bounce back abilities, okay? So the sun rules Leo, does better in Aries. So oftentimes Aries sun signs will be better off as far as identity is concerned, because the sun does best in those two signs, the sign that rules Leo and the sign is exalted in, friendly fire sign to Leo, Aries. Sun does not do as well in Aquarius. In Aquarius, the sun is in detriment, and it's a little misplaced. It's not quite attached to this dimension. So that's why Aquarian people are different. They are very unusual, and when it comes to overall energy factors, as far as character and identity is concerned, a lot of people think Aquarians can be cold, are distant, arm's length energy, okay? And also the sun is in fall in Libra. The vitality and the self-expression and the overall power that is offered by the sun in Libra, it can be distorted, misplaced, or even perverted, or manipulated force can come about. So we do find, as far as sun signs go, there is a good sun sign, Leo, and there's a better sun sign, Aries, and the worst two, as far as detriment and fall, would be Aquarius and Libra. These people have to fight to be more honest with themselves and others, and as far as self-expression is concerned, We need more balance in those areas and overall vitality. See, like the sun offers a life force or energy. So when you have sun in Libra or Aquarius, you might need to rest more. Whereas that Leo and Aries are like, let's go. The moon, another luminary, does well in Cancer. It rules Cancer, and it does better in Taurus. So it rules Cancer, and it's exalted in Taurus. So emotionally, we find people, because Cancer, the moon rules emotions, we find people emotionally more stable and more in touch with love vibration when they are Cancer moons, or if they're Taurus moons, they're the best. So when it comes to emotions, these people are a lot more grounded than the rest of the moon signs, and that's why they are wonderful shoulders to cry on. Now, you know, on the other hand, a lot of us have emotional problems, and a lot of us sometimes we might say I love you to someone, and we just want to say that because we think they need to hear it, or because we think we do love them. But in effect, we're having trouble understanding what love is. And sometimes when we do tell you someone we love them, if we have a misplaced moon, then it either comes across wrong, the other person thinks we're lying or not being sincere, and in case we really are in fact in love and really do love someone and we do tell them we love them, then they can't handle it because it's too intense. So if you have your moon in either the detriment sign of Capricorn or in the fall sign of Scorpio, like I do, then when it comes to love vibrations, unless you have some trines to your moon to support it, like thank God my sister has a Scorpio moon with, I think, two or three trines on it, no squares, no oppositions. My poor little Scorpio moon in the first house has four squares on it, so obviously I've dedicated my life to learning about love, and that's why we discuss relationships a lot on the show. Might have something to do with why I'm not married or why I haven't held a relationship longer than 2 to 5 years. But still, if you are a Scorpio or a Capricorn moon and you have had problems emotionally or with love situations or just dealing with your emotions, now you know why. Now, the moon's in Scorpio today, for example. That's why it seems like emotionally everyone is unsteady. It's like a moon wobble effect in a way. Not that new beginnings emotionally would be bad, but it just means that the moon is in the worst part of the zodiac right now. So emotionally, everyone's like, bleh, you know, like, ooh. So, very, very strange effect. So the moon rules Cancer, exalted in Taurus, in detriment in Capricorn, and in fall in Scorpio. And, you know, you say to yourself, Farley, how do we earn this? Well, frankly, if you are able to do things emotionally that are positive, and if you are able to not manipulate or abuse or be obsessed or take advantage of individuals, then that's how you earn, dharmically, a Cancer or a Taurus moon in the next lifetime. If you abuse yourself emotions, or if you're in a constant quest to understand emotions, then your karma would be the Scorpio or the Capricorn moon, and God help you like I do, right, if you have squares or oppositions on that moon, it makes it much worse. So, you know, my childhood, even though everyone thought I was happy, was rather frightening with my moon in fall in Scorpio. In the first house, four squares on it, I was a pretty scared rabbit there. Sometimes still am, frankly. Scorpio moons are tough, I'll tell you. Okay, Mercury is one of the smaller planets, but still very powerful. And Mercury rules two signs. It rules Gemini and Virgo, but unlike any other planet, it not only rules Virgo, but it is also strongest in Virgo. So Mercury is exalted in Virgo. Now that's very interesting. It's important to note that Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo, but it is exalted in Virgo. So Mercury is really attached to these two signs tremendously. And we do find that, frankly, if you do have Mercury in Gemini or Virgo, psychologically speaking, you know, as far as communication is concerned and mental balance and mental analysis, you might be more together than the rest of us, who could be a little bit more flakier or less communicative. Mercury in Sagittarius is in detriment, sometimes unable to express oneself clearly, and also sometimes what is said is not meant to be said, or what is heard is not meant to be heard. And frankly, I don't want to scare you, but a lot of people with Mercury in Sagittarius or Mercury in fall in Pisces could have some psychological problems. And if you check charts of people that are institutionalized, believe it or not, these are people that if they don't identify these problems and process them and work for balance, they could feel a little crazy here. So if you do have Mercury in detriment in Sag or in fall in Pisces, that's why I meet a girl, I go, oh, you have Mercury in Pisces. Well, excuse me, I have to make a phone call. I'll be back in about 50 years. No, but, you know, if they have Mercury in Pisces and it's trine my Venus or trine my Moon, that's not too bad. But still, it is very different. So, and we do find genius, you know, with Mercury in Sag or Pisces, but usually require a couple trines or air support in the chart to get that genius. Venus is an interesting planet that rules love factor, values, and female factor, or yin energy, whereas Mercury rules the mind, Venus rules the values. Venus, it rules two signs also, like Mercury. It rules Taurus and Libra, both, okay? I want to get that straight. Mercury, Venus does well in three signs. It rules Taurus, it rules Libra, and it is exalted in Pisces. Isn't that fun? So there is something you can get in Pisces that is exalted. It would be Venus. So these people know about love, understand love, are luckier with money typically, unless they have a Venus-Saturn conjunction or Venus squares, you know. Typically, if they have Venus in Taurus or Libra or exalted in Pisces, money does not have to be as much of a problem in love. Does not have to be as much of a problem. Venus does not do so well in Aries. And then those poor folks with Venus and Virgo, the workaholics, right? The ones that have to work so hard for their money and so hard for their love oftentimes. Venus in fall in Virgo does its worst in Virgo. Too much analysis, too much detail, too much worry, maybe too much negativity connected to love, relationships, and money with Venus in Virgo in fall. Okay, I hope you like this. This is a real good flow chart for you. To know what planets rule, what signs they rule, what signs they're exalted in, what signs they're in detriment in, and what signs they're fall in. The Yang planet, Mars, okay, the Yang energy, Mars, is a planet that controls our life force, the battery, the heartbeat, and also the Yang or the male energy in our chart, the relationship force of men, for men, or looking for men. And Mars rules Aries, but is the traditional or the ancient ruler to Scorpio, which I no longer accept personally, but some people like to do that, because Pluto, since its discovery, has now been assigned to Scorpio. Mars does its best in Capricorn. It is exalted in Capricorn, so people with Mars in Capricorn can succeed. That's why they have so much ambition, because they can succeed that much easier, and they have what is needed to rise up that ladder, okay? So Mars does well in Aries, better in Capricorn, does not do so good in Libra. I have Mars in Libra. Mars is in detriment in Libra. Libra, an air sign, is not real good when it comes to life force. So we do find people have too much mental energy, not enough physical energy with Mars in Libra. And women with Mars in detriment in Libra or with Mars in fall in Cancer, where Mars absolutely does its most horrible, well, could definitely be cursed with a lifetime of relationship problems or being involved in marriage situations where they are either constant struggles or new lessons learned almost every day. Okay, now if you're a gay man and you have Mars in Libra or Mars in Cancer, and very few gay men have that, believe it or not, but there are a few, then you would also be stricken with tremendous karma concerning relationships there. Gay women, believe it or not, would have Venus in fall in Virgo, and gay men would also have Venus in fall in Virgo, a lot of them. So that could be a problem, too. But frankly, see, Mars is an emotional sign. Mars is an emotional planet, and it's filled with energy, so when it's placed in Cancer, which is the sign of emotion, there's too much energy focused in that area, so we're dealing with extreme moods when it comes to feelings here that can be quite complicated, especially if you're living with or married to someone who either has Mars in detriment in Libra or Mars in fall in Cancer. Now, it's really sad that I have Venus in Cancer, which doesn't do so bad, but then I am attracted oftentimes to all these women with Mars in fall in Cancer on my Venus. So God help me there, right? But I've learned just because a woman has Mars in Cancer doesn't mean she's compatible to me or anyone else. But still, women with Mars in Cancer should learn how to focus, should learn how to ground themselves, should learn how to make a commitment, and also should learn how to keep their emotions and their attitudes and their feelings more balanced with more patience, which means if you're going to make a choice and you have Mars in Cancer, stick to it. If you find yourself changing around and jumping around too much, you're just going to create the karma that got you Mars in Cancer in the first place. So, could be interesting. Jupiter does extremely well. It is said that Jupiter, by tradition, does better than any of the other planets in the sign it rules because it is such an expansive planet. And as far as philosophy and happiness and optimism and confidence, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. Okay? So if you do have Jupiter in Sagittarius, you would have what we call the astrological wild card, which could make you an in-house philosopher unless that Jupiter is afflicted with Gemini or Pisces or Virgo planets. Traditionally, Jupiter in Sag is wonderful. And Jupiter in Pisces is an ancient rulership, which I don't accept as much anymore. But I have found that Jupiter does its best in Cancer, the water sign, which does create a very nurturing, protective force in an individual that has Jupiter in Cancer. Unlike Mars in Cancer, which can be very strange emotionally, Jupiter in Cancer knows what it feels and expresses it and makes commitments and such. Okay? And then Jupiter does not do well at all in Gemini. It's in detriment in Gemini. Too much mental energy, for sure, can drive you literally nuts. Jupiter is in fall, does its worst in Capricorn. Obsession with career and achievement can create martyrdom, stress, suffering, pain, agony, and sometimes trauma with Jupiter in fall in Capricorn. Saturn rules Capricorn. And Saturn does quite well in that sign. A lot of you having Saturn returns are experiencing that right now. Also, Saturn does its best in Libra, the classic placement for the natural counselor, someone that is meant to help others through words. Okay? Saturn, it does not do so well in Cancer. It is in detriment there. Emotional problems, extreme emotional problems, could be void of the type of emotion necessary to retain balance in relationships. It's not saying you're not sensitive. We're just saying that you could be void of the emotions necessary to retain the type of balance you need in relationships, of course, unless you have some sextiles or trines to correct that Saturn detriment in Cancer. And Saturn is totally karmic, does its worst in Aries. So lifelong karma with Saturn in Aries as far as self-realization and self-development is concerned. Uranus rules Aquarius. We say the generation born with Uranus and Aquarius, like my mom and dad, is a genius generation. Does quite well as far as acquisition of goals and accomplishment. Uranus is exalted in Scorpio, so we even go beyond genius with lots of the children that are growing up right now. I think 10 to 15 are thereabouts with Uranus in Scorpio. And Uranus does its very bad in Leo. Uranus is in detriment in Leo. A lot of you born in the 50s will have Uranus in Leo. Leo ruling expression, also family and children with Uranus in Leo. There is a lot of karma in those areas. Sudden, shocking, sometimes stubborn and arrogant energy with Uranus in Leo. Uranus does not do well at all in Taurus. That would be around World War II and prior to that. It is in fall in Taurus. Obsessions with money, values, power, lust, love, and could be rather arrogant there also with Uranus in Taurus. Neptune rules Pisces. And that means people with Neptune in Pisces, which probably not many are alive right now, frankly, but they will be born coming up here in about 20 years. But anyway, Neptune is exalted in Leo. A lot of people around today should have that born around 1920 or so, 1930, exalted in Leo. Neptune does not do well at all in Virgo. It's in detriment in Virgo. So we do find a lot of spiritual indifferences with Neptune in Virgo. people born in the 30s and part of the 40s there. And then Neptune does its worst in Aquarius. And isn't that interesting? Neptune will be going into Aquarius in about 6 or 7 years, and a lot of babies will be born with Neptune in fall, which I'm sure could affect the next century. Okay? And then finally, Pluto rules Scorpio, and it is in detriment in Taurus. So a lot of the babies born with Pluto right now in Scorpio should be something to behold, the next generation maybe to take over this planet by the horns. And Pluto does its worst in Taurus. A lot of those people might not be alive today, but they still possibly could be, in their hundreds maybe. And also, a lot of people, we don't know where Pluto is exalted or in fall, but I believe that Pluto is in fall in Gemini and exalted in Sagittarius, and we will find that out when Pluto goes into Sagittarius around the mid-90s. If there's peace on Earth, by then we'll know Pluto definitely is exalted in that sign, so I'm praying that it is. Okay, so there's a good topic for you, the traditional qualities of the planets, rulerships, exaltations, detriment, and fall, critical issues to understand when studying astrology. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you are listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, heard weekdays at 12 noon right here on KFOX 93.5 FM in Redondo Beach. So no matter where you are in Southern California or off-planet, welcome to beautiful Redondo Beach. One of my beautiful, my most favorite places in the world. I always wanted to come to work at the beach, and here I am, right near the waves. Can you hear them? All right.